Welcome to the perfect place for imperfect people. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
Today, we get to celebrate Christ. This is the Christ Mass. Some of you are like, doesn't feel like a Catholic Mass. You don't look like a Catholic priest. I didn't know this was a Catholic church. Well, Pastor Dan explained it last week. What a Mass simply is, it's a gathering where people come together to celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. And so today, we are gathered to celebrate the greatest gift, the sacrifice of the Son of God and what that means to set us free. But today is not about the Mass. Today is not about the service. Today is not about the Mass. It's not about all the extra stuff that we've been talking about over the past several weeks. Today is about Christ. I've titled today's teaching, Mass Christ. Today is all about more of God's presence. I said presence, not presence. You get the distinction there? Tomorrow, a lot of you, well, the next day, in the next few days, if you celebrate Noche Buena, probably tomorrow night around midnight or before that, and then a lot of you on Christmas morning, you're going to be exchanging presents. You're going to be exchanging gifts. And it's a perfect place for imperfect people, yes? Can I be honest? Some gifts just aren't good. Can we be honest about that? How many of you here have ever received a disappointing gift? Go ahead and shout out what it was. I want to hear. A personal trainer. Ooh, that's pretty tough, Ed. I'm not even looking your way. I heard one in the back. A what sweater? A sweater with a dog on it. Yeah, that's a chore. It's like, thank you for this. Now I have to go and return it. You gave me work for this gift. Anyone else this side, you receive a disappointing Christmas gift? Anyone? What? Mouthwash. That's probably a hint from your wife, so disappointing for you, maybe not for her. How many here, you've never received a disappointing gift in your life? Let me see by show of hands. Can you come up, walk up to the front of the stage? You've never received a disappointing gift? Well, congratulations, today I have one for you. Can you guess what it is? Calendar. That's a pretty terrible gift. Unless you got one for someone you loved and therefore. It's a burrito wrap. So you can wrap yourself up and pretend like you're in a microwave. And I'm not going to give you a gift receipt for that. You're stuck with that. Congratulations. Now you've gotten a disappointing gift. Here you go. Take your bag too. That's part of the gift. Yeah. We all, at some point in our life, should receive a disappointing gift, because what it does is it elevates the good gifts in our life. And today, knowing that all of us now have received a disappointing gift at some point in our life, I want to talk about a gift that will never leave us disappointed. I want to talk about a gift that will never grow obsolete. You don't have to buy a new one every year. It doesn't break. It is the most expensive gift that you'll ever receive in this life, but it doesn't cost a thing. It's completely free. And that gift is available today. And what that gift is God's presence. Matthew 1:18, the Christmas story. This is God's Christmas gift to us. It says, now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as to not disgrace her publicly. And as he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. And all this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called what? What 4 o'clock? Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought home Mary to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Say Emmanuel. Say it one more time. That's a great name. Emmanuel is a great name. My name is plain and simply Eric Gamero. That's it. I don't have a middle name. My parents did not give me a middle name. They just gave me plain Eric Gamero. And I've always wanted more names. I'm not making this up. When I was a youth pastor, I was like, hey, if you bring this many students next week, I'll legally change my name to like Optimus. That'll be my middle name. My wife, she denied it. I'm like, why are you denying me the thing I want most in this life? I really, like Eric Gamero, I want a middle name, my dad's name. He has a good name. His name is Marcel Tony Gamero. I'm like, I could be a junior. That would have been fine. I just think more names makes more sense. Now, I have a powerful name. My name, Eric, means eternal ruler, which is, I think, is pretty cool, but my parents didn't know that. My parents named me after Eric Clapton. Some of you might think that's cool. But I've always, from a young age, my siblings, I have two brothers, Shinosuke, Matthew, Shimochi, Kenshiro, Paul, Shimochi. And why am I just Eric Gamero? Like even a Korean name. I'm ranting right now, guys. I promise I have a point, but I got to get this off my chest. Like Koreans can't even say Eric. So like half my genealogy can't pronounce my name. There is no R sound in Korean. There's no it's only so it's like Elik, Eliku. I'm like, just give me any sort of middle name. But no, Eric Gamero. Some of you have more than a middle name. Some of you have a double first name. Anyone here with a double first name? What's your name? What is that? That's awesome. Mark Anthony, Anne Marie, like double first names, those are cool. But yet, I only have one. Long names are better for me. And actually, I Googled the longest name ever used by a person. It's up there. The name is Hubert Blaine Wolf plus 585. This is his actual name. This is how he signs his name. The reason he signs it plus 585 is because his actual name is Adolf, Blaine, Charles, David, Earl, Frederick, Gerald, Hubert, Irvin, John, Kenneth, Lloyd, Martin, Nero, Oliver, Paul, Quincy, Randolph, Sherman, Thomas, Uncas, Victor, William, Xerxes, Zandy, Zeus, Wolf, Schlegenstein, Hausenberger, Dorr, Volter, Wern, Warren, Gishenschlaff, Schaefer, Wersenschlaff, Warren, Wold, Gepflun, Sorgal, Takeflight, Bexusen, Von Agrafern, Dirch, Urab, Gehrig, Feindy, Welch, Orvins, Worfta, Unsen, Javrin, Deer, Schurden, Wanderer, Sturdam, Erfendrom, Schrift, Gerbrach, Schlichtal, Senior, Sprung, Vornkopf, Gerstiner, Gefart, Hinsch, Weissen, Sturgen, Grom, Austin, Schrenden, Ock, Diestern, Welch, E, Gibhat, Behwan, Brunplanten, Kreset, Drakenschind, Wunderer, Nervossen, Wernestig, Menlich, Keek, Condenfort, Plurgen, Schneer, Furin, Anditschlang, Leek, Frundern, Ruckmichtenstein, Ferventang, Riffen, Von Ander, and Teleshop, Von Hinz, Wieschen, Sternen, Grom, Senior. This is his actual name. And some of you are like, why are they clapping? That's dumb. Yes, it is. And then he had a son and named him the same name, but gave him Junior. So gets me thinking, maybe Eric Camaro's okay. But what's my point of saying all that? Because there's no one in the history of all creation that has had more names than Jesus. From cover to cover in God's word, there are over 100 names and titles that have been given to the Son of God. Whether that's the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Alpha and the Omega, the Bright and Morning Star, the Savior, the Messiah. Perhaps the greatest name given to Jesus is that name, Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, it says, look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning what? God is with us. And this is important. He's with us. This is what Christmas is all about. God's presence being with us. Not reindeer, not honey-baked ham, not a pernil. Christmas is not about family coming together, although that's a good thing. I love my family coming together. But we all have that crazy relative who talks about how much they hate everything, right? It's not about family coming together. Christmas is not about St. Nicholas. Did you know that St. Nicholas was an actual person and he was a follower of Jesus and he saw a need in children's lives and he began to generously give gifts to them because of his love for Christ. But Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is about the Son of God coming to be with us. Emmanuel, God, is with us. And I say that, and some of you are like, I know. I've heard the story before. I've been coming to Christmas my whole entire life. We celebrate it every year. I know the story. Been there, done that. Pastor Coquito, what else is this about? Maybe you're familiar with the story. But for you, it's just a story that we tell. Maybe you're a little bit more advanced than that. And for you, you like to hear the story and apply practical truths in the story to make you a better person. But if all we do is look at all the moss surrounding Emmanuel, we've missed the point. The story is not about a little baby who doesn't have a place to lay his head. The story is not about all the characters and us being aware of the supernatural happening. The story is about Creator God. Think about that. The one who made everything together, the one who spoke everything in existence by the word of his mouth, who holds everything in all of creation in the palm of his hands. This God stepped down to earth to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And if you get that, this could be the end of the teaching today. You could go home and prepare for Noche Buena and do all your last minute shopping. If you would understand that, but so many of us, we miss it. We miss that God came to be with us. We think it's for them. No, it's for us. It's for me. It's for you. It's God's Christmas gift. His Christmas gift isn't some little baby boy in a manger. His Christmas gift isn't all the blessings and gifts that this little baby brings. A lot of people think that God's gift to us, that he's a lot like Oprah or Mr. Beast, like just giving away all sorts of free stuff. He gives us everything that we want. We're down on our luck, but no, God, he gives us all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I like stuff. I can't wait to unwrap a lot of gifts over the next few days. But if all we do is focus on the gifts that God gives, if all we do is focus on the presence that God gives to us, and we miss his presence with us, we've missed the power of Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's the answer to humanity's greatest desire. Doesn't matter who you are, what philosophy you believe in. All of us, we have this internal desire to be known, to be understood, to be loved, to have a purpose and not simply exist. And all of that can only be found in the one who created us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Turn to someone, tell them, Christmas is not about the moss. It's about Christ. It's about Mas Christ, it's about more of God's presence with us so we're not distracted by the rest of the stuff around us. I have one point today, one point for this Christmas teaching, but this one point is in two parts. Here's the first part of it, write this down. God's greatest present to us is his presence with us. God's greatest present to us is his presence with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Anyone here still not done buying all the presents for Christmas yet? Be honest. It literally is only men. I'm raising my hand in honesty also because there's two people I have not bought a gift for. Why do we wait this long? Why have we not completed? I'll just speak for myself. Maybe it's not you, but for me, it's because I'm lazy. It's because I'm a procrastinator. It's like, well, I got time. Amazon will still deliver next day. But they won't anymore. And I can say I don't know really what to give those that I love, but the reality is because I wait to the last minute. And if you're like me, and tonight after our second service, I'm gonna have to run. I'm not going to the mall, I'm not crazy, but I'm gonna have to run to Walgreens or CVS and try to find something that doesn't say as seen on TV because I'm such a procrastinator. Pray for me, y'all. But this isn't God. God did not send his presence to be with us because everything all of a sudden got out of whack. It wasn't, oh no, they messed up. Oh no, they're imperfect now. They disobeyed my commands. What should I do? No, it's been God's plan from the very beginning to be with us. Adam and Eve, they walked in the garden freely in the presence of God. It's been his desire from the very beginning to be with us. In fact, the name Emmanuel was given 700 years prior to Jesus being born. The prophet Isaiah speaks this name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Here's the context of how this was spoken. The king of Aram and the king of Israel, they're against the king of Judah, King Ahaz. They're attacking him. Their desire is to destroy him. And God swoops in because Ahaz has been faithful to the Lord. He says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm here. I'm your sole sufficiency. I will protect you. Do you trust me? And he had a difficult time trusting God. So God says, then ask me for a sign. I want you to believe that I am more than able. Ask me for anything and make it difficult. But yet the king continued to say, I can't. I can't ask you. I can't trust you. And his lack of hope, he had a deficiency of hope because of a lack of faith that God was more than able. And I think a lot of us were like King Ahaz today. We've come to this room where we're crying out to God, save me! I messed up, God. I got enemies coming in from every side. I haven't done what I'm supposed to. I procrastinated. I need your help. Will you rescue me? Will you save me? He says, I want you to ask me for a sign. Ahaz says, I can't, Lord. Isaiah 7:14, all right then, the Lord himself will choose the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Ahaz is terrified of everything that's happening in the world around him. He's afraid of the economy. He's afraid of what the doctor has said. He's afraid at the borders being broken into. He's afraid for his own safety. And God says, I'm going to give you a sign. And as he begins to describe Jesus coming, the Savior of mankind, you have to know that in hindsight, we know that this happened 700 years after King Ahaz was saying, save me today. See, the point is this. God's promise came to pass way after he had problems in his life. But those kings died long before the Savior came. The point is, God can do the impossible. God can rescue you from whatever you're going through. Whatever is holding you down, whatever is keeping you captive, whatever is stirring up anxiety and heartache in your life, he's more than able to rescue you from that. He can do the impossible. Do you believe that? But he doesn't just want to save you from your problems. He doesn't just simply want to take care of what you're going through right now. He wants to be with you forever. He's saying, I've made a way to not simply get rid of all the pressure of your life today, but to deliver you from the slow sting of your sin and death. To set you free, to be in relationship with you. How? Emmanuel. God is with us. That's what's most important about Christmas. What got the shepherds going back, telling everyone what they saw? What got the wise men bowing down to a Jewish baby who had no money and gave them all these extravagant gifts? What caused all of this celebration? It was the reality that Creator God has now come to be with us. And this is why the Christmas story is so important. This is why we celebrate. God is more personal than we understand. He wants to be in relationship with us, so he gives us his presence. And in his presence, I want you to hear this. There's great power. Second part, of the one point today. God's greatest present to us is his presence with us. And God's presence is with us now with power to save. His presence is here right now with power to save this Christmas. Save us from what? From our sin. See, every single one of us in this room, we're sinful. Anyone here ever lie before? Show of hands. Not everyone's raising your hand. Raise your hand now because you're a liar. You just lied about it. Doesn't matter if it's small or big. You ever stolen something? Small or big? You ever cussed somebody out in traffic? Oh, no, not this church. No, let's be honest, right? We are imperfect people. And because of our imperfections, which to God, going against what he's commanded us, is sin. God gave us a way to live. He says, here's how I want you to live. Here's how I want to lead you. Here's what will lead to life. But we disobey. We do our own thing. We go against what he's asked of us. And because of our sin, we cannot be in the presence of a perfect God. The Bible says that the wages, the payment of our sin, what we deserve is death. And we can't save ourselves. Because we are imperfect. None of us can do enough good to get us perfect. None of us can do enough charity to get on God's good side. There's nothing we can do because we're so far off because he is perfect and we are not. And if we have not been saved of our sins, we are in grave mortal danger because the payment is death. The payment is hell. What we have earned is eternity away from the presence of God. But here's the gift of Christmas. There's a Savior. God sent his son to save us. The perfect son of God came to be with us to set us free. There's someone who can turn it all around. There's someone who can take all the broken pieces of our life and put it together and make it more beautiful than it was when it first began. There's someone who can give us hope. There's someone who can give us purpose. There's someone who can make us friends and children of God. He's Emmanuel. God is with us. He's Jesus. And he's here now. He's here right now. And if we receive his present of his presence, he'll be with us forever. When you leave this place, when you move to another state, when you find another place to work, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, his presence will be with you always when we receive his presence today. But we need to receive this gift. I'm terrible at wrapping gifts. I like to pay people or buy gift bags and little gift cards because I think wrapping is difficult. But God, he put so much attention into giving us his gift, to wrap it, to hand it to us. When Jesus was born, the Bible says that Mary wrapped him in what? Swaddling cloths. He was wrapping his gift to us. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, paying the punishment that we deserve because of our sin, he died. They took him down. The Bible says that they wrapped him in hundreds of pounds of linen and spices. His birth was God's gift to us. His death was God's gift to us. But then on the third day, because he is the perfect Son of God, he is God in the flesh, come to be with us. Death could not hold him down. He defeated the power of sin and death. And on the third day, he rose again, and all the wrappings were on the ground. His resurrection is God's gift to us. And in this season where we exchange gifts and we give and we receive gifts, would you receive God's greatest gift to you? Would you receive the gift that he's already done everything possible so that you can know that he is present? Would you exchange your sin and your sinfulness for his salvation and let that be your gift exchange this Christmas? That's his greatest gift. And that gift is available today. His presence is here with power to save you, to set you free so that you can walk with confidence that you are a child of God and that nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of the one who created you. John 3:16. Many of you are familiar with this, but just like the Christmas story, don't miss the meaning of the message behind it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life." As simple as that sounds, that is God's greatest gift to us. He loves us so much that he sent Emmanuel, the Son of God, to be with us, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes and receives what he has done to set us free, we will never die, but we'll have everlasting life. In just a few moments, we're going to conclude. And unfortunately, every year, when the service ends, people say, "Okay, church is done. Let's party. Let's have fun." And we miss the gift that God wants to give us. I pray today that you would not miss that, that you would receive his presence that will set you free, that will make you a son and daughter for all eternity, God's greatest gift to us. He's here. Power to give us a new beginning, to give us hope, to give us purpose this Christmas. With every eye closed, I know oftentimes we can feel pressure and we miss what God is doing in our heart because we're looking what God is doing on the outside with others. His presence is here. He wants to set you free. He says, "I love you. And 2,000 years ago, I sent my gift to you to forgive you, to heal you, to give you hope and purpose. Will you receive it today?"
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.